This morning, Pastor Cheryl is going to bring us the second part of our series on being a Jesus follower, challenged and committed. Warm welcome for Pastor Cheryl.
Good morning. So nice to see so many people out, even though it's snow and a little bit cold out. But you know, that's what we're supposed to do, come to church anyway, as long as we can get here safe. As I was reading this week, Jerome and I weren't feeling well, so I was reading quite a bit. And it's important, regardless of how you feel, to pray. It's a challenge to do that sometimes. But you know how Pastor Janet's been talking about hearing the voice of God? I heard the voice of God. No matter if I had a headache, I'm supposed to pray. I called on the church, as I'm supposed to, for Jerome and I to pray. But I prayed also. Let me tell you, Jerome was sneezing so badly one night. Even though I was weak, I felt so bad for him. I think it started an anxiety. So I grabbed the phone and I prayed first for my peace to be still. And then I called or text Apostle Janet or Elder Carol and text them to please pray for me. And you guys prayed for Jerome. It wasn't his time to be sick. It was time for me to get some rest. But if he got sick, I couldn't get that rest. So, you know, the next morning I woke up. I said, well, honey, are you sneezing? I don't hear you sneezing. No. I said, ooh, praise the Lord. God knew what we needed. And God knew that I had to call the elders and the intercessors to pray for us. So my thing is, no matter what you're going through, Pastor Jane, I think, talked a little bit about that last week. No matter what you're going through, pray anyway. Pray yourself into worship, into praising Him and thanking Him like they did earlier. Thank God for being alive still. I thank God that Jerome could sneeze. Amen. You know, really, I thank God for that. God is so good all the time. I love the video. We are obsessed. I am obsessed about learning and loving the Lord. I am obsessed about knowing all that God has done for me and for my family and for you. I have been praying for my family to come into church. And you know, they say, don't wait for a certain thing to happen in the church to call on your family and friends. We should be doing that every day. It should be a part of our daily life. Pastor was saying last week that we should have a routine in the morning when we get up. Praying, thanking God. And at night, she talked about reflecting on your day. I do that. You know, I didn't call it reflected. I'm not sure what I was calling it, but I reflect on my day. I reflect on all the good things and the bad things that happened that day. I reflect on what things I need to change that happened that day. And when you get up in the morning, you do something about that. Don't just let it stay there. It's talked about shoulder to shoulder on one of the videos. And in this church at the river, we work and we serve shoulder to shoulder. Not one person should be standing alone, regardless of what your duties are, knowing that somebody has my shoulder. We are touching one another. Someone has my back. We are the church. Not the building, but we are the church. So wherever we are, March the 16th, we are in church. You know, don't get caught up in a gorgeous building. Yes, we have. God blessed us with this building. But when God says, okay, it's a change, I'm so thankful that our pastors listen. They listen. And I don't know about you. I heard God too. But I'm going where she goes. I'm going where he goes. I'm going to follow because I know God said it's a change. They've been talking about this change. And we are in this change. We talk about God is on the move and so are we. So are we. We are followers. Who and what do we do to be a follower of Jesus Christ? We have been talking about 7 traits of a follower of Jesus. Following Jesus is a constant act and a way of life. 7 traits. A follower is centered completely on Jesus. A follower is changing by results of studying growth. A follower is challenged to win others to Christ. A follower is committed to live for Jesus and to die for him if necessary. Are you ready to die for Jesus if necessary? Because, you know, being a Christian, being a follower, it can really be a challenge sometimes. But we have God. A follower is connected to the strength and living power of Jesus. A follower is consistent in their walk with Jesus, and they continue to follow him. Father God, we come before you this morning, and we say, thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for each person that is here. Father God, I pray that each person came in with open ears and an open heart. And I pray, Lord, that what is not of me to say, they just drop it. And Lord, I pray that you would use my mouth to bring forth the word that you want brought forth. And Jesus, we just love you so much, and we are so thankful to be here. We must align ourselves with his teaching. As a follower, we have to align ourselves with his teaching. We have to die of our bad habits. We need a daily life of routine of praying and reading the Bible. I love the Bible schedule that most of us use. Sometimes I may not finish that particular chapter or lesson for that day, but I've learned to keep on going. God wants us to keep on going. If you have the time to finish it up, go ahead. But I don't want to get behind. I don't want to be left behind. We don't want to leave no one here behind. In Luke 5:16, Jesus would get away and pray. You know, sometimes he'd be so busy too, like we are. But he would take that time and get away and pray. I love in the summertime or in the spring, we can just go out in my little chair and I got an umbrella over it and my table and just pray to God. Thank him for the nature. Thank him for the birds. Thank him even for the green grass, because so many people don't have green grass. So we thank him for that. I thank him for my little green beans that are growing. I thank him for my tomatoes that are growing. I thank him for the growth. I thank him for my family. To reflect at night, what happened today, good or bad? What should I change? What am I grateful for? And thank him. Challenged, impaired, or disabled in a specific respect. A challenge is impaired. It will impair you sometimes. You know, sometimes you think you are disabled in doing something. But you know, when you have God in your life, you can do anything. If God wants you to do this, you can do this. If you have a job that is offered to you, you're thinking, I can't do this. I did not go to school for this. But if God moved that place for you, he is equipping you. Sometimes we have things inside of us that we just don't know about. But sometimes we have to dig in and grab a hold of those things. I remember a job that I had once that's like, how am I here? I can't do this. I can't do that. But you know what? I enjoyed the job. I enjoyed learning about the job. It was about people, helping people, getting to know people, getting people where they're supposed to go. And guess what? I loved it. Follower is a verb, to go after or beyond. And challenge, facing a difficult situation that tests your ability, your skills, and your determination. Sometimes we get up and something, a challenge gets in our way, and we just drop it. But you have to be determined that this is something that God wants us to do. Being challenged can be an opportunity for growth and learning. Can mean difficult to do. Did you hear me? Being challenged can be an opportunity for growth. That's important to know. Sometimes we go through things to learn for the next thing. Sometimes we go through things that we think we can't handle, and if we don't go through it right, we don't come out on the right side. Sometimes we have to go back and relive that thing. To follow Jesus means to be challenged. A challenger is challenged to win others to Christ. An example for that, Jesus called men to be fishers of men. I don't think they even knew what that meant at first. Did you understand that? I kept saying fishermen. I mean, I think all my life. And this week, oh, a fisher of men. Okay. What this meant for the men, Jesus was issuing a deep-rooted challenge. He wanted these men to totally change their lives and take on an impossible task. Sometimes God wants us to take on things that we just think that we cannot do. But when you hear the voice of God, you step out. And you know that God told you to do that thing, so you do it. And you're so surprised when you come out on the other side. Jesus challenged these men to risk everything that they had and everything they were for everything they could become. Sometimes we have to leave things. I was talking to someone the other day, and when, I think it was Pastor Janet, and when God called her an apostle to full-time ministry, she had to give up some things. I understand she had this big house, but it was too big for what God wanted her to do. And most people would think, well, that's crazy. No, because she knew, God knew that they were going to be busy. So they downsized. That doesn't mean that they dropped what they had, that they went less, because guess what? They really went more. Understand this, please. Because you have a big house and God wants you to go into full-time ministry, meaning you're going to be involved with all these people, people calling you up quite a bit, people trying to knock at your door, you having to run to the hospital to see people, you having to stop more so into the stores to pray for people. You're just busy. You got to preach. You got to teach. You have to do a lot more into full-time ministry. So they didn't have time to clean this big house. The kids were about to go. They would have their own home. So they had to clean that. Now, could they have hired somebody to come in and do something? Probably so. But that's not what God told them. So they did what God told them to do. How does this apply to our lives? Following Jesus will be one of the greatest joys of life, but also one of the greatest challenges. Following Jesus does not give us the luxury to play it safe. If you think because you're following Jesus, because you're a Christian, that you can play it safe and everything is going to be okay, you're not going to grow. You're not going to do what God wants you to do. You're not going to be available to do what God wants you to do. Instead, it requires us to take some risks in life. Are you willing to take the risks in life? Are you really, really willing to take risks in life to walk with Jesus and to win people to be closer to Jesus? Are you willing to take the risk to pass on the gospel, to open up a Bible and tell people what God is all about? Are you willing to give up and to take a challenge to tell people about the promises of God and about how God, how Jesus died on the cross for each one of us? Are you willing to talk about the woman with the issue of blood? Are you willing to talk to people about the man that was blind and God, Jesus, let him see again? Are you willing to take the challenge to tell people that have never heard anything about Jesus? They just don't know. Are you willing to take that challenge to be able to tell them about Lazarus who died and his sisters talk about how the body was stinking and they were mad at Jesus because Jesus could have saved him? But Jesus was doing other things and Jesus had a point that he was trying to prove to Mary and Martha. I can come later. He can be dead. He can be stinking. But guess what? When I get there, I will let him be alive again. And that's what happened. Because we are Christians and following Jesus doesn't mean everything will be easy. Scripture says we will have hard times, but God will be with us. He will love us. He is our Father, our protector, our healer. Remember that. Our healer, our protector, our Father. He's a father to the fatherless. As we walk with Jesus, we are called to share him with others in word and deed and to take on active role in the discipleship. Fishing is also a metaphor for seeking men and women who also follow Jesus. It's not just for men. When we say that word fishermen, it is for men and women. It takes more than luck, more than just sitting around waiting, more than hoping the fish will come to you. It takes understanding when the fish, where fish, and will likely be at for you to catch. It'll take you knowing that when you go leave here and you go across the street to Kroger's, of who needs a word from the Lord. You may get some news. Oh, don't want to hear it. Don't want to talk to you. That's okay. I did Mary Kay once, and the word was, if you didn't get any no's, you were not talking to enough people. All right. So, if people turn their back, that's okay. God bless you. Have a good day. You must get to know people. You have to know people in order to be able to follow this and be able to serve the Lord, to be able to bring people to Jesus. You have to get to know them. In Mark 5:10, Jesus tells Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. Matthew 1:17 says, come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. Becoming a fisher of men meant that Jesus was going to use his disciples to grow the kingdom of God. If we are willing to follow Jesus and to win people over to Jesus, we will begin to fill the kingdom of God. Don't forget, we are the church. We are supposed to go out and talk about God. When we move to the hotel, there'll be people coming in and there'll be people going. People who are not from Indiana, who are not from Elkhart. But you know what? When they see you, they'll see something different. I have been to a hotel and I heard people say, are you having a church here? They will come in. And you have no idea what is being said or your smile that would touch that person. You have no idea them seeing Caden with his mom and with his cousins and sister. Oh, that young man is in church. You have no idea who he'll touch. When you see Gabe and Jen with their children, a family. Many years, I went to church alone because Jerome had to work. And I'm so thankful to God that he is able to come to church now. God wants all of us, say it, all of us to work for the kingdom of God. He wants all of us to win souls to Jesus. Amen. That's our business. That's our business. Amen. Working as a secretary? Yep. Working as a doctor? Yep. A lawyer? Yep. But it's our business to talk the gospel and to win people to Jesus. I just don't want anybody in my family or friends to die and not be saved. That is important. That's important to all of us, and I know it. You know, this year, within the last year, we probably all of us have been to a funeral. And how many people that died did not know about Jesus? How many of those people did you talk to? How many in the family members that just went by because you were afraid to talk about Jesus? I'm not saying get your Bible out and whip them across the head with your Bible, because that will turn them off. But the way you live, the way you speak, the way you smile, the way you open the door, is something that comes from you that is radiated, that just they want to know who you are. Talk about waiting until something happens. I put a little SOS out there to my family. And I said, okay, I'm preaching Sunday. I thought I'd put it on our family web, but I guess I didn't. So the two grandsons that I really did tell, I'm preaching Sunday. It's important to me that you come. Not for me, but for you. Because I know some people are going to be here. I have my River family here, but it's important for me to reach my grandchildren. It's important to me to reach my family, because when I die, they die, I want to know where they're going. I want to win them to Jesus. And is it a challenge? You better believe it's a challenge, because I remember a couple of Sundays ago, one of them told me that they had to bake bread. Whoops, I told on you. They were baking bread, and the time frame just didn't allow him to come to church. Okay, that's okay. But keep on doing it. You can invite your family, and they'll come up with excuses. But don't forget, do it again. Do it again, and do it again until they finally get here. I know that you guys have friends here. I don't know if they go to church with you or not, but it's important, and you know that, to tell your friends and family about Jesus Christ. Jesus was going to use his disciples to grow the kingdom of God. We have learned, prayed, and walked that narrow path to be disciples. It's a daily thing to do. I can't read my writing right now, but it's important. I can't. It's a daily thing to do. So I'm going to say this again. You know, get your Bible out. Read your Bible. Pastor Janet did a class when we were downtown about how to read the Bible. I said, whoop. Let me go. It wasn't what I thought. But the one thing that I took from that is you read one scripture and you take something from that scripture if you can't get anything else. I think my first one was, God loves me. Have you ever had trouble with understanding that God loves you? Sometimes we're going through things and, you know, we don't understand that, but God loves each one of us, and he wants each one of us to be a servant. He wants each one of us to go out in the community and talk about him. He has so many good things for you to share about. What the Bible, what does it mean to be a fisherman in the Bible? In the Bible, Jesus called his disciples fishers of men. To describe their role in growing the kingdom of God. The term refers to their former occupation as fishermen in the Sea of Galilee. Isn't it something how he picked that though? You know, when you men go fishing, they have a net, they have a pole, they have bait. And you know, that's something like what we do. We have a lot of times where we have been taught, we have been to class, it's all here, it's all here. We have our equipment to go out and fish. But I'm talking about today not fishing for fish. I'm talking about fishing for men and women, fishing for souls. What it means to be a fisher of men, sharing the gospel, to share the message of Jesus Christ, to be patient, to keep trying, even when you think it's no reward coming immediately. Regardless of what you do, it may not come today, but it'll come later. Hard work, to put in the time and effort to share the gospel. It can be hard work sometimes. Humility, to approach others with confidence and humility, to be modest and to be free of pride. And you're not better than others. So if you go up to somebody and think, oh, you know, I go to the river and I'm Pastor Cheryl, you know, no, I'm not going to do all that. I'm not. So why Jesus used the term fisher of men? Jesus often used examples from ordinary occupations of these he addressed. Fishing is unpredictable and requires patience and risk. Patience and risk. Jesus wanted to encourage his disciples to keep trying even when they didn't catch anything. The same thing goes for when you're talking to people and they don't seem interested. Keep on doing it. Matthew 4:19, follow me and I will make you fisher of men, is Jesus' invitation to discipleship. It's a call to share Jesus with others and to be active in their discipleship. Okay, so if you talk to somebody about bringing to Jesus, don't just drop them and don't say anything else. So grandsons, I'm just not going to accept you being here today and not call you tomorrow. Gigi is going to text you something. They call me Gigi. And that's the way you can follow up on people. People that are in church and they are sick, or they're in a hospital, or they lost someone. Follow up with them. Text them. You know, we all like to receive those little texts that say that let me know you're thinking about me. And to explain this, fishing is a manifold for seeking people to follow Jesus, to win them to Christ. Discipleship involves following Jesus, being changed by Jesus. That changing that I think Pastor Janet talked about last week, we will change. When we're following Jesus, you will change. You will grow and you will change. Invitation to all. Jesus' invitation to be a fisher of men is an invitation to all of us. Every single one of us. And it's to men, women, black, white, Mexican, Asian, educated, rich, poor. It doesn't matter where you're from or where you live. What you drive, if you are married, single, short hair, long hair, tall or short, the invitation from Jesus is an invitation to us all. Don't get caught up in, oh, that's an all-white church, or that's a all-black church. Don't get caught up in that. Call to action. Jesus' invitation is a call to action, to leave behind nets, boats, and even family to follow. Sometimes when you become a Christian, you do have to leave some people behind. Not saying that they will always be left behind, but to live that life with Jesus and to learn about him, sometimes we have to separate ourselves from individuals. To call to be a fisher of men is a call to be in the world, but not of the world. That's scripture. and what is happening in the world around us, fully engaged in the lives of our neighbors. As we become fishers of people, we are sent into relationships with people again. Discipleship in its three aspects involve relationship with God's people, relationship with God, and relationship with others. And it can be challenging. Jesus wanted them to know that he was asking them to catch people, not fish, helping to establish God's kingdom, living in a way that honors God and bless all people. Bringing people to Jesus is an honor to God. It's not to boost me up, but it's to honor God, and it's to bless those people. And you know, I'm not doing it on my own, so let's get that straight. I'm not doing it on my own. I'm doing it with the help of the Lord. When we are praying for people and lay hands on, it's not my hand, it's Jesus' hand on top of mine. Amen. Living in a way that honors God and bless our people. Being changed by the people we meet. Because you know, you might be a Christian already and you go out and meet, but that person that's not saved, in talking to them and being engaged with them, can change you also. Combining evangelism with benevolence. In daily life, fishing of people can mean talking with strangers, being generous with others. It can be challenging to win others to Christ. So, you know, it's not hard, but God never said everything was going to be easy when we decided to follow Jesus. And my next term is, to follow Jesus means to be committed. Jesus' call is to us, is to take up our cross and follow him. Seek him first on a daily basis. Make it a part of your daily life. What does this mean for us? Jesus is calling for us to follow his example of sacrificial love. He sacrificed his life for us, for you and for me. Jesus is calling us to be followers, an example, his example of humility, to be modest. I used to think that people told me I was modest, that I was full of humility with others. And I thought, what are they talking about? But it's a good thing. It's a good thing. So I said, okay, I'll take that. I learned later, not that day. How do we apply this to our lives? Love the Lord with all your heart. Love your neighbor as you do yourself. Your neighbors might be playing music real loud. They might have alcohol going in and out of the house. They might do bad things, but don't curse them. Pray for them. Regardless of how your neighbors are, pray for them. It's the same now. We're going through this thing political. So pray for our president. Pray for the leaders that he has chosen. Because it's our world. It's our world. Whether you voted for him or not, it's our responsibility to pray. And when we don't, how can we sit there and complain? We can't. Others should sense you have a heart of humility and an attitude of submission. Because when I am committed to Jesus, I am submitting myself. I am submitting myself. Those who follow Jesus do not get to remain the same. Matthew quit defiling people as a tax collector. He was a tax collector, and he gave it up. Paul stopped persecuting the church. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit invites us into a relationship with them. And as they do, we find that we are changed, conformed into the image of Christ. And oh my goodness, I want to be in the image of Christ. And I know you do too. Being committed to Jesus means giving up your life for the cause of Christ. and trusting in Him to lead you. It's a continuous way of life, not just an occasional practice. It means to be committed to Jesus daily. Deny yourself and taking up your cross daily. Giving up your dreams, hopes, and possessions, and even your life if needed. Like I said, a pastor, an apostle gave up some of their possessions. And I know some of you probably have done the same things. Sometimes we take a different job. It might be a little less pay, but we took it for our families. We took it so that we can come to church on Sundays. Those kind of things are some of the things that we just do. Asking Christ to take over your lives because you can't do it on your own. Being fruitful, being a servant, helping the church, helping pastor, being fruitful, being a servant. Sometimes we have church work days, and it's our responsibility, if we can, sometimes we can't, to come and help us. Pastor has put a call out there to help us to move some things. So if you are available, please come and do so. This is for the kingdom of God. This is for our next move. This is for our next journey. We love each other. I love serving with you guys. I love seeing you outside of the sanctuary because we are family. We are to come to prayer and worship service, living a life that reflects God's will. Luke 23:46. Jesus says, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Psalms 37:5 says, "Commit your way to the Lord. Trust him and he will act." There are 7 commitments of highly faithful Christians. And in closing, I'm going to read those. And if you have a pen, since I didn't put them up there, I'll put them on cards and have them next week. The 7 commitments of highly fruitful Christians. Matthew 16:23-25. Wholeheartedly surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Matthew 25:31. Proactive living as a kingdom servant. I want to be a kingdom servant. 1 Peter 4:10-1. 1 Corinthians 9:16-17. Intentional and contagious for Christ. I want to be contagious. I want people who don't know me, they just see me and they just contagious. And they want to be around me to see what it's all about. My joy when I smile. When you smile, when I see Leslie back there smiling, it's a contagious smile. I saw Ella Carroll. I can see back there too. It's a contagious smile. When Pastor Janet says amen, it's contagious to me. You know, I can't help it but be happy. Hebrews 10:19. Gathering weekly for fellowship and worship. It is important to be here on Sunday mornings unless you're working or you're sick. Because if you're sick, you can stay home. Because we want you to heal. And we don't want to pass germs. But we will be praying for you. When we have classes, it's important to attend them. And now we have them on Zoom, which is awesome. Joshua 1:7-9. Daily spending time with God in the word and prayer. As I said, let that be the first thing you do before you hit the floor is pray and then read. Read God's word. Try to have a schedule. And the last one, 1 John 1:7-9. Keeping short accounts with Jesus. He loves us so much. He is our Father. He is our protector. He is our healer. And if you need to go to the bank for a loan, pray to God first. We should make that a habit of anything that we do. Pray to God first. And so, Lord Jesus, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, that I pray that people understand what I was trying to say. A fisher of men winning people to Jesus Christ and to be committed to be a servant. Father, I pray that they had open ears and open hearts and souls and that they understand. I pray, Father, that you protect each one of us from any harm. I pray, Lord Jesus, that we will be a follower for Jesus. I pray, Father, I'm not trying to make this a little over. We follow Jesus. But you know, in this house, there is someone else that we have to follow. Man, I might be wrong for saying this, but this is me. Yes, I hear from the Lord. But I stay in this house under the leadership of the cooks, under the leadership of Apostle Janet Cook. So if I don't agree with something she says, I'm not going to say anything against it. But because I love her and I trust her, I'm going to believe that that's what God wants us to do. I'm going to believe that that's where I'm supposed to go. If she tells me you need to take more classes, I'm going to take more classes. If she tells me I need to stop eating so much, I'm going to stop eating so much. She's a good apostle. We all love Apostle Janet, Apostle Leonard, and Pastor Vanessa. We all sat up here under the river under their leadership. Most of you don't see Pastor Vanessa in action. But believe me, she be in action. And she's training the girls to be in action, to be mobilized. So when I say I follow her, I don't mean that she is my God. I believe that God put me here under her. So I'm going to follow her. You know, I am. And we are fortunate, River family, to have a person that listens to God and obeys God. Does she call Bishop? Yeah. Does she call Apostle Leon? Yeah. But we are here to follow her. So I'm excited for this next move that God has given to us. And so I'm going to turn it over, but before you finish, I have a presentation, and I want you to be able to sing Happy Birthday to Pastor. So
you can. You want to do that before the song or after?
We can do it before.
Yeah.
Okay. Tomorrow is Apostle Janet's birthday, and so we want to celebrate her birthday and let her know how much we love her. With gifts and cards, and just to say I love you. She loves to read cards. You know, Joyce used to have some blank cards out there, if you don't bring your own, just to let her know how you feel. You know, sometimes she preaches on Sundays, and I don't know if anybody lets her know how good it was. You know, how much we get from it. Usually, sometimes we don't probably let them know until we disagree with something, you know. But we need to do that more often, to let each other know how we appreciate them. So I'm going to turn it over to you.
I have the privilege of presenting these flowers as a token of our appreciation and love for you as a spiritual mother of this congregation. We appreciate your being a prayer warrior for us, for all the roles you fulfill. And your anointing as teacher, anointing from counseling, anointing to prophesy, and especially now your task of overseeing this transition. We love you and we appreciate all your hard work, and we want to support you and give you our love and our help. And anyone else?
Happy birthday, Pastor. I want to thank you for teaching us God's word. Just like Pastor Cheryl said, thank you so much for always preaching, and especially also for the notes that are usually in the websites. So anytime we can always go back to the notes and just go through what you've preached. Another thing I really want to thank you for is that you're always available to talk to us. I mean, I don't want to cry. But anytime you come to the Welcome Center and just talk to me, that's usually such a big blessing. Thank you. You're a pastor, but you're always available to us to just talk to us. Thank you.
What I like about it, Joyce said, she's available. They are available. Now, you know, sometimes they're a little busy, so we have to be a little nice about it, not too pushy about it, and we have to share them with other people, but she is available. And so we do love you, and thank you.
Thank you.
And we're going to, I'll put it over here. We'll turn it over to them.
Did you get a picture?
She's going to get a picture.